tape number 4 in the series on the preparation for death by St. Alphonsus de Liguori, the chapter on the importance of salvation. It is our only affair because we have but one soul. A prince asked through his ambassador a favor of Benedict XII, which could not be granted without sin. In answer, the Pope said, "Tell the prince that if I had two souls, I might, perhaps, lose one of them for him and reserve the other for myself. But since I have but one, I cannot and will not lose it." St. Francis Xavier used to say that there is but one good and one evil in the world. The former consists in the salvation of the soul, the latter in its damnation. St. Teresa used frequently to say to her nuns, "One soul, one eternity." As if she said, "One soul, if this be lost, all is lost. One eternity, the soul, if lost once, is lost forever." Hence David said, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, this I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Lord, I ask but one favor, save my soul, and I ask nothing else. With fear and trembling, work out your salvation. He that does not fear and tremble for his salvation will not be saved. To save the soul it is necessary to labor and to do violence to nature. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent bear it away. To obtain eternal glory, our life must be found at death conformable to the life of Jesus Christ. Hence we must be careful, on the one hand, to avoid the occasions of sin, and on the other, to adopt the means necessary for the attainment of eternal life. All would wish to be saved without trouble. The devil, says St. Augustine, sleeps not, but labors strenuously for your perdition, and will you slumber when your eternal happiness is at stake? Affections and prayers. Ah, my God, I thank thee for making me now remain at thy feet and not in hell, which I have so often deserved. But of what use would the life which thou hast preserved be to me, should I continue to live without thy grace? Ah, may this never be. I have turned my back upon thee. I have lost thee, O my sovereign good. I am sorry for it with my whole heart. Oh, that I had died 1,000 times rather than have offended thee. I have lost thee, but the prophet tells me that thou art all goodness, and that thou art easily found by the soul that seeks thee. If I have hitherto fled away from thee, I now seek thee and seek nothing but thee. I love thee with all the affections of my heart. Accept me. Do not disdain to give thy love to a soul that has at one time despised thee. Teach me what I must do in order to please thee. I am ready and willing to do it. Ah, my Jesus, save this soul for which thou hast given thy blood and thy life, and in order to save me, give me the grace always to love thee in this and in the next life. This grace I hope for through thy merits. For this I also hope, O Mary, through thy intercession. Third point, a failure in saving one's soul is an irremediable evil. Important affair? Only affair. Irreparable affair. No error, says St. Acharius, can be compared with the error of neglecting eternal salvation. For all other errors there is a remedy. If you lose property in one way, you may recover it in another. If you lose a situation, there may be some means of afterwards regaining it. If you soon lose your life, provided your soul be saved, all is safe. But if you lose your soul, the loss is irreparable. Death happens but once. The soul, if once lost, is lost forever. Nothing remains but to weep for eternity with the other miserable wretches in hell, where their greatest torment consists in the conviction that the time of repairing their ruin is gone forever. The summer is over, and we are not saved. Ask the worldly wise who are now in the pit of fire, what are their present sentiments? Ask them if now they are condemned to that eternal prison, they feel happy at having made a fortune in this life. Listen to their wailing and lamentation. We have erred. But of what use is it to know their error now that there is no remedy for their eternal damnation? Should a man who could have preserved his palace at a small expense find it in ruins, how great would be his pain in reflecting on his own negligence and on the impossibility of repairing the evil? The greatest torment of the damned consists in the thought of having lost their soul and of being damned through their own fault. Destruction is thy own, O Israel. Thy help is only in me. Saint Teresa says that if a person loses through his own fault a ring or even a trifle, his peace is disturbed. He neither eats nor sleeps. O God, how great will be the torture of the damned Christian when on entering hell and finding himself shut up in that dungeon of torments, he reflects on his misfortune and sees that for all eternity there will be no relief, no mitigation of pain. He will say, I have lost my soul, paradise, and God. I have lost all forever. And why? Through my own fault. But you will say, if I commit this sin, why should I not expect to escape damnation? I may still be saved. Yes, but you may also be damned, and it is more likely that you will be lost, for the Scriptures menace eternal woes to all obstinate traitors, such as you are in your present dispositions. Woe to you, apostate children, saith the Lord. Woe to them, for they have departed from me. By committing this sin, you at least expose your eternal salvation to great danger. And is this an affair to be exposed to risk? There is not question of a house, of a villa, or of a situation. There is a question, says St. John Chrysostom, of being sent into an eternity of torments, and of losing an eternity of glory. And will you risk on a perhaps this business of sovereign importance? You say, perhaps I shall not be lost. I hope that God will hereafter pardon me. But what happens in the meantime? You condemn yourself to hell. Tell me, would you cast yourself into a deep pool of water, saying, perhaps I shall not be drowned? Surely you would not. Why then should you trust your eternal salvation to such a groundless hope, to a perhaps? Oh, how many has this accursed hope sent to hell? Do you not know that the hope of those who are obstinately determined to commit sin is not hope, but an illusion and presumption which move God not to mercy, but to greater wrath? If you say that you are now unable to resist the temptation and passion to whose domination you submit, how will you resist them hereafter, when by yielding to sin your strength will not be increased, but greatly diminished? For on the one hand, your own malice will render you more blind and obdurate, and on the other, the divine helps will be withheld. Do you expect that the more you multiply sins and insults against God, the more abundantly he will pour upon you his lights and graces? Affections and prayers. Ah, my Jesus, remind me always of the death thou hast suffered for me, and give me confidence. I tremble lest the devil should make me despair at death by bringing before my view the many acts of treason I have committed against thee. How many promises have I made never more to offend thee after the light thou hast given me? And after all my promises, I have, with the hope of pardon, again turned my back upon thee. Then have I insulted thee because thou didst not chastise me. My Redeemer, give me a great sorrow for my sins before I leave this world. I am sorry, O Sovereign Good, for having offended thee. I promise to die 1,000 times rather than abandon thee, but make me in the meantime feel that thou hast said to me what thou didst say to Magdalene. Thy sins are forgiven thee, by giving me before death a great sorrow for all my iniquities. Otherwise I fear my death will be troubled and unhappy. Be not thou a terror to me, thou art my hope in the day of affliction. O my crucified Jesus, be not a terror to me in my last moments. If I die before I have wept over my sins and have loved thee, Thy wounds and thy blood will inspire me with fear rather than with confidence. I do not ask of thee consolations and earthly goods during the remainder of my life. I ask of thee sorrow and love. O my dear Savior, hear my prayer for the sake of that love which made thee offer thy life in sacrifice for me on Calvary. Mary, my mother, obtain for me these graces along with thy holy perseverance till death. Consideration 13. The Vanity of the World. What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his own soul? First point. The goods of this world are useless. An ancient philosopher called Aristippus was once shipwrecked and lost all his goods. When he reached the shore, the people, through respect for his great learning, presented him with an equivalent of all he had lost. He wrote to his friends, exhorting them to imitate his example and to seek only the goods which cannot be wrested from them by shipwreck. Now our relatives and friends who are in eternity exhort us from the other world to attend only to the acquisition of goods which even death cannot take from us. Death is called the day of destruction. It is the day of destruction because on that day we shall lose all the goods of this earth, its honors, riches, and pleasures. Hence, according to St. Ambrose, we cannot call the things of this life our goods, because we cannot take them with us to eternity. Our virtues alone accompany us to the next life. What then, says Jesus Christ, does it profit us to gain the whole world if at death, by losing the soul, we lose all? Ah, how many young men has that great maxim sent into the cloister? How many anchorets has it sent to the desert? And how many martyrs has it encouraged to give their life for Jesus Christ? By this maxim, St. Ignatius of Loyola drew many souls to God, particularly the soul of St. Francis Xavier, who was then in Paris, attached to the things of the world. Francis, said the saint one day, reflect that the world is a traitor, which promises but does not perform. And though it should fulfill all its promises, it can never content your heart. But let us grant that it did make you happy. How long will this happiness last? Can it last longer than your life? And after death, what will you take with you to eternity? Where is the rich man that has ever brought with him a piece of money or a servant to attend him? What king has ever carried with him a shred of the purple as a badge of royalty? At these words, St. Francis abandoned the world, followed St. Ignatius, and became a saint. Solomon confessed that whatsoever his eyes desired, he refused them not. But after having indulged in all the pleasures of this earth, he called all the goods of the world vanity of vanities. Sister Margaret of St. Anne, a Discalced Carmelite, and daughter of the Emperor Rudolf II, used to say, of what use are the kingdoms at the hour of death? The saints tremble at the thought of the uncertainty of their eternal salvation. Father Paul Cinieri trembled, and full of terror said to his confessor, Father, what do you think? Shall I be saved? St. Andrew Avellino trembled, and with a torrent of tears said, Who knows whether I shall be saved or lost? St. Louis Bertrand was so much terrified by this thought that during the night, in a fit of terror, he sprang out of bed, saying, Perhaps I shall be lost. And sinners, while they live in a state of damnation, sleep and jest and laugh. Affections and prayers. Ah, Jesus, my Redeemer, I thank thee for making me see my folly and the evil I have done in turning my back on thee, who hast given thy blood and thy life for me. Thou didst not deserve to be treated by me as I have treated thee. Behold, if death now came upon me, what should I find but sins and remorse of conscience, which would make me die with great disquietude? My Savior, I confess that I have done evil and committed a great error in leaving thee, my sovereign good, for the miserable pleasures of this world. I am sorry from the bottom of my heart. Ah, through the sorrow which killed thee on the cross, give me a sorrow for my sins, which will make me weep during the remainder of my life over the injuries I have done thee. My Jesus, pardon me. I promise to displease thee no more, and to love thee forever. I am not worthy of thy love, which I have hitherto so much despised. But thou hast said that thou lovest him who loves thee. I love thee. Love me then, O Lord. I do not wish to be any longer in enmity with thee. I renounce all the grandeurs and pleasures of the world, provided thou lovest me. Hear me, O my God, for the love of Jesus Christ. He entreats thee not to banish me from thy heart. To thee I consecrate my whole being. To thee I consecrate my life, my pleasures, my senses, my soul, my body, my will, and my liberty. Accept me. Reject not my offering, as I have deserved for having so often refused thy friendship. Cast me not away from thy face. Most Holy Virgin, my Mother, pray to Jesus for me. In thy intercession I place unbounded confidence. Second point, the goods of this world are contemptible. There is a deceitful balance in his hand. We must weigh things in the balance of God, and not in the deceitful balance of the world. The goods of this life are miserable goods. They do not content the heart. They soon end. My days have been swifter than a post. They have passed by as ships carrying fruits. The days of our life pass and fly away. And of all the pleasures of this earth, what remains? They have passed like a ship, which leaves no trace behind. As a ship that passeth through the waters whereof, when it is gone by, the trace cannot be found. Ask so many of the rich and learned of the world, so many princes and emperors who are now in eternity, what they possess of all the pomps and delights and grandeur which they enjoyed in this life. They all answer, nothing, nothing. O man, says St. Augustine, you attend to what he had here, but attend to what he brings with him. You, says the saint, regard only the goods which the rich man possessed, but observe what he takes with him at death, a fetid body and a rag of garment to rot with him. After death, the great ones of the world are spoken of for a little while, but they are soon forgotten. Their memory hath perished with a noise. And if they have gone to hell, what do they do and say in that place of woe? They weep and say, what hath pride profited us? Or what advantage hath the boasting of riches brought us? All those things are passed away like a shadow. What have our pomps and riches profited us now that they are passed away like a shadow, and for us nothing remains but eternal torments, wailing, and despair? The children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. How prudent are worldlings in earthly affairs! What toil do they endure in order to obtain a situation or to acquire an estate? With what care do they attend to the preservation of bodily health? They adopt the safest means. They select the best physicians, the best remedies, and the purest air. But how careless are they about the concerns of the soul? And it is certain that health, situations, and possessions will one day end, but the soul and eternity are everlasting. What do not the unjust, the vindictive, and voluptuous endure in order to attain their wicked objects? And will they refuse to suffer anything for the soul? O God, by the light of the death candle, at that time of truth, worldlings know and confess their folly. Then they say, oh, that I had left the world and led a life of sanctity. Pope Leo XI said at the hour of death, it were better for me to have been porter in my convent than to be pope. Honorius III also said in his last illness, it would have been better for me to have remained in the kitchen of my monastery to wash the plates than to be chosen head of the church. In his dying moments, Philip II, King of Spain, sent for his son, and throwing off his royal robes, showed him his breast eaten away by worms, and said to him, Prince, behold how we die, and how the grandeurs of this world end. Oh, he exclaimed, that I had been a lay brother in some religious community, and had not been king. He then ordered a cross to be fastened to his neck by means of a cord, and having made all his arrangements for death, he said to his son, "I wished you to be present at this scene, that you may see how the world treats monarchs in the end. Their death is like that of the poorest peasant. In short, he who leads the most holy life is in the greatest favor with God." This same son, who was afterward Philip III, dying at the age of 43 years, said, "My subjects, in the sermon to be delivered at my funeral, preach nothing but this spectacle which you behold. Say that to have been king serves at death but to excite regret and pain." He then exclaimed, "Oh, that I had never been a king! Oh, that I had lived in a desert to serve God! I should now go with greater confidence to present myself at his tribunal, and should not now find myself in so much danger of being damned forever." But these desires at the hour of death serve only to increase the anguish and despair of those who have not loved God. Then, says St. Teresa, we should make no account of what ends with life. The true life consists in living in such a manner as not to have any reason to fear death. If then we wish to see the true value of earthly things, let us look at them from the bed of death and say, these honors, these amusements, these revenues will one day have an end. We ought then to labor to become saints and rich in goods which will accompany us to the other world, and which will make us content and happy for all eternity. Affections and prayers. Ah, my Redeemer, thou hast suffered so many pains and ignominies for my sake, and I have loved the pleasures and vanities of this earth to such an excess that for the sake of them I have often trampled on thy grace. But since thou didst not cease to seek after me when I despise thee, I cannot, O my Jesus, fear that thou wilt now cast me away when I seek and love thee with my whole heart, and am more sorry for having offended thee than I should be for having suffered every other misfortune. O God of my soul, from this day forward I wish never to offend thee, even by a venial fault. Make known to me what is displeasing to thee. I will not for any earthly good do what I know to be offensive to thee. Make known to me what I must do in order to please thee. I am ready to do it. I wish to love thee with a true love. I embrace, O Lord, all the pains and crosses which may come to me from thy hands. Give me the resignation I stand in need of. Here burn, here cut. Chastise me in this life, that in the next I may be able to love thee for eternity. Mary, my mother, to thee I recommend my soul. Do not ever cease to pray to Jesus for me. Third point, we must work for heaven. The time is short. It remaineth that they that use this world be as if they used it not, for the fashion of this world passeth away. What is our life on this earth but a scene which passes away and ends very soon? The fashion of this world passeth away. The world, says Cornelius a Lapide, is like a stage. One generation passes away, another comes. He who acts the part of a king takes not the purple with him. Tell me, O villa, O house, how many masters have you had? When the comedy is over, the king is no longer king. The master ceases to be master. You at present are in possession of such a villa and palace, but death will come, and they will pass to other masters. The affliction of an hour maketh one forget great delights. The gloomy hour of death brings to an end and makes us forget all the grandeur, nobility, and pomp of the world. Casimir, king of Poland, while he sat at a table with the nobles of his kingdom, died in the act of raising a cup and taking a draught, and the scene ended for him. In 7 days after his election, Emperor Celsus was killed, and the scene closed for Celsus. Ladislaw, king of Poland, in his 18th year, while he was preparing for the reception of his bride, the daughter of the king of France, was suddenly seized with a violent pain, which soon deprived him of life. Couriers were instantly dispatched to announce to her that the scene was over for Ladislaus and that she might return to France. By meditating on the vanity of the world, Francis Borgia became a saint. At the sight of the Empress Isabella, who had died in the midst of worldly grandeur and in the flower of youth, he, as has been already said, resolved to give himself entirely to God. "Thus, then," he said, "end the grandeurs and crowns of this world. I will henceforth serve a master who can never die." Let us endeavor to live in such a manner that what was said to the fool in the gospel may not be said to us at the hour of death: "Thou fool, this night do they require thy soul of thee, and whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Hence the Redeemer adds, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God." Again he tells you to acquire the riches, not of the world, but of God, of virtues and merits, which are goods which shall remain with you for eternity in heaven. Lay up to yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither the rust nor the moth doth consume. Let us then labor to acquire the great treasure of divine love. What, says St. Augustine, has the rich man if he has not charity? What does the poor man want if he has charity? If a man had all the riches in the world and has not God, he is the poorest of men. But the poor man who possesses God possesses all things. And who are they that possess God? "He," says St. John, "that abideth in charity, abideth in God, and God in him." Affections and Prayers. Ah, my God, I do not wish that the devil should have any longer dominion over my soul. I wish that thou alone be the Lord and Master of it. I will renounce all things in order to acquire thy grace. I esteem it more than 1,000 thrones and 1,000 kingdoms. And whom shall I love but thee, who art infinitely amiable, who art an infinite good, infinite beauty, bounty, and love? Hitherto I have abandoned thee for the sake of creatures. This is, and always will be, to me a source of sorrow, which will pierce my heart with grief for having offended thee, who hast loved me with so much tenderness. But since thou hast favored me with so many graces, I can no longer bear to see myself without thy love. O my Lord, take possession of my whole will and of all that I possess, and do with me what thou pleasest. If I have hitherto been impatient under adversity, I ask pardon. O my Lord, I will never complain of thy arrangements. I know that they are all holy, all for my welfare. Treat me, O my God, as thou wishest. I promise to be always content, always to thank thee. Make me love thee, and I ask no more. What goods, what honors, what world can I love? O God, O God, I wish only for God. Happy thou, O Mary, who didst love nothing in the world but God. Obtain for me the grace to imitate thee, at least during the remainder of my life. In thee I trust. Consideration 14 in the Preparation for Death. Life is a journey to eternity. Man shall go into the house of his eternity. First point, man is a traveler on earth. Seeing that on this earth so many miscreants live in prosperity, and that so many saints live in tribulations, the very Gentiles, by the sole aid of the light of nature, have known this truth, that since there is a just God, there must be another life, in which the wicked are punished and the good rewarded. But what the Gentiles learn by the light of reason, we Christians know by faith. We have not here a lasting city, but we seek one that is to come. This earth is not our country. It is for us a place of passage, from which we shall soon go to the house of eternity. Man shall go into the house of his eternity. The house, then, which you inhabit, is not your house. It is a hospital, from which you will soon, and when you least expect, be dislodged. Remember that when the time of death has arrived, your dearest relatives will be the first to banish you from it. And what will be your true house? The house of your body will be a grave, in which it will remain till the day of judgment. But your soul will go to the house of eternity, either to heaven or to hell. St. Augustine tells you that you are a stranger, a traveler, a spectator. It would be foolishness in a traveler to spend all his patrimony in purchasing a villa or a house in the country through which he merely passes, and which he must leave in a few days. Reflect, says the saint, that in this world you are only on a journey. Fix not your affections on what you see. Look and pass on, and labor to procure a good house in which you will have to dwell forever. Happy you if you save your soul. Oh, how delightful is heaven! All the princely palaces of this world are but stables compared with the city of paradise, which alone can be called the city of perfect beauty. There you will have nothing to desire, for you will be in the society of the saints, of the Divine Mother, and of Jesus Christ, and will be free from all fear of evil. In a word, you will live in a sea of delights and in unceasing joy which will last forever. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. This joy shall be so great that at every moment for all eternity it will appear new. But unhappy you if you are lost. You will be confined in a sea of fire and of torments, in despair, abandoned by all and without God. And for how long? Perhaps after the lapse of 100,000 years your pains will have an end. 100,000 and 1,000 millions of years and ages will pass by, and your hell will always be at its commencement. What are 1,000 years compared with eternity? Less than a day which has gone by. 1,000 years in thy sight are as yesterday which is past. Would you wish to know the house which will be your dwelling for eternity? It will be that which you merit and which you choose for yourself by your works. Affections and prayers. Then, O Lord, behold the house which I have deserved by the life which I have led. Alas, it is hell in which, from the first sin I have committed, I ought to dwell, abandoned by thee, and without having it ever in my power to love thee. Blessed forever be thy mercy, which has waited for me, and which now gives me time to repair the evil I have done. O my God, I will no longer abuse thy patience. I am sorry above all things for having offended thee, not so much because I have merited hell, as because I have outraged thy infinite goodness. Never more, my God, never more will I rebel against thee. I desire death rather than offend thee. O my sovereign good, were I now in hell, I could never love thee, nor couldst thou love me. I love thee and wish to be loved by thee. This I do not deserve, but Jesus merits it because he has offered himself to thee in sacrifice on the cross, that thou mightest be able to pardon and love me. Eternal Father, give me then, for the sake of thy Son, the grace to love thee and to love thee intensely. I love thee, O my Father, who hast given me thy Son. I love thee, O Son of God, who didst die for me. I love thee, O Mother of Jesus, who by thy intercession hast obtained for me time for repentance. O Mary, obtain for me sorrow for my sins, the love of God, and holy perseverance. Second point, man can secure eternal happiness. If a tree fall to the south or to the north, in what place soever it shall fall, there it shall be. Wheresoever the tree of your soul will fall at death, there will it remain forever. There is no medium. You will be forever a king in heaven or a slave in hell, forever in bliss in an ocean of delights, or forever in despair in a pit of torments. In contemplating the fate of the rich glutton, who was esteemed happy in this world because he was rich, but was afterward confined in hell, and the condition of Lazarus, who was regarded to be miserable because he was poor, but was afterward raised to the glory of heaven, St. John Chrysostom exclaimed, O unhappy felicity, which dragged the rich man to eternal misery! O happy infelicity, which brought the poor Lazarus to the happiness of eternity! Of what use is it to torture yourself, as some do, saying, Who knows whether I am among the predestined or not? When the tree is cut down, where does it fall? It falls on the side to which it inclines. Brother, to what side do you incline? What sort of life do you lead? Labor always to incline to the south. Preserve your soul in the grace of God. Fly from sin, and thus you will save your soul and will be predestined. And in order to avoid sin, keep always before your eyes the thought of eternity, which St. Augustine calls the great thought. This thought has led so many young men to abandon the world and to live in deserts in order to attend only to the care of the soul, and they have secured eternal life. And now that they are saved, they will rejoice for all eternity at having sought during life nothing but the salvation of their souls. Father Avila converted a certain lady who lived at a distance from God by saying to her, "Madam, reflect on these two words, always and never." In consequence of a thought which he had one day of eternity, Father Paul Signori could not sleep for several nights, and from that day forward gave himself up to a more rigorous life. Drexelis relates that a certain bishop was encouraged to lead a holy life by the thought of eternity, and by repeating within himself, "I stand every moment at the gate of eternity." A certain monk shut himself up in a cave and did nothing else but exclaim, "O eternity, O eternity." "He who believes in eternity," said Father Avila, "and does not become a saint, should be confined in a madhouse." Affections and Prayers. Ah, my God, have mercy on me. I know that in committing sin, I condemned myself to an eternity of torments, and I have been content to resist thy will and to incur this punishment. Ah, my Lord, pardon me. I'm sorry for my sins from the bottom of my heart. I do not wish evermore to oppose thy holy will. How miserable should I be hadst thou taken me out of life during my career of sin. I should at this moment be condemned to remain forever in hell, to hate thy will. But now I love it and wish forever to love it. Teach me and give me strength henceforth to do thy will. I will no longer resist thee, O infinite goodness. This grace only do I ask. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Enable me to do thy will perfectly, and I ask nothing more. And what, O my God, dost thou desire but my welfare and my salvation? Ah, eternal Father, hear my prayer for the love of Jesus Christ, who has taught me to pray continually to thee. In his name I ask this grace, thy will be done, thy will be done. Happy me if I spend the remainder of my life, and if I end my days doing thy will. O Mary, happy thou who hast always done the will of God perfectly. Obtain for me, through thy intercession, the grace to do his will during the remainder of my life. Third point, man shall go into the house of his eternity. Man shall go into the house of his eternity. The prophet says man shall go, to show that each shall go to the house to which he wishes to go. He shall not be carried to it, but will go of his own accord. It is certain that God wills the salvation of all men, but he will not save us by force. He has placed before each of us life and death. Whichsoever we choose will be given us. That which he shall choose shall be given him. Jeremias likewise says that the Lord has given us two ways in which to walk, one the way of heaven, the other way of hell. Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. The choice rests with us. But how will he who wishes to walk in the way of hell be able to reach heaven? All sinners wish for salvation, and in the meantime, they, by their own choice, condemn themselves to hell, with the hope of being afterward saved. But who, says St. Augustine, can be found so foolish as to take poison with the hope of escaping death? And still so many Christians, so many fools, kill their souls by sin, saying, "I will hereafter think of a remedy." Oh, delusion, which has sent so many souls to hell. Let us not be so foolish. Let us reflect that eternity is at stake. In erecting a house in which he expects to live for the remainder of his life, a man spares no trouble in seeking a healthful site and submits to great toil and fatigue in endeavoring to make the house commodious and airy. And why are men so careless when there is question of the house in which they must dwell for eternity? The business for which we labor, says Saint Acharius, is eternity. There's not question of a house more or less commodious, more or less airy, but there's a question of being in a place full of delights, among the friends of God, or in a pit of all torments, in the midst of an infamous crowd of abandoned miscreants. And for how long? Not for 20 nor 40 years, but for all eternity. We will continue with Life is a Journey to Eternity in St. Alphonsus de Liguori's Preparation for Death on side B of this tape. Please join us and ask your family and friends to listen also.